Hi, Lauren.
Good morning. Welcome
Good morning.
Back to another Edge Got In Bible Study, virtual Bible study. I'm so grateful, Dr. Stella, my dear friend and colleague, for our time together today. And I'm very excited about today's topic. This is the third in the series of four for emotional intelligence. For those of you that are just popping in on this one, emotional intelligence basically has four different phases. We like to categorize things because clarity of focus leads to accuracy of response. So the first phase of emotional awareness, and you can listen to that podcast as well, which is the first stage, and that's self-awareness. The second one is self-management, basically how aware are you of your emotions and how well do you manage your emotions. We're on the third phase of emotional intelligence because if you can't manage within your own castle, your emotions, you're not aware of them, then that blocks you from your ability to be able to manage well and effectively the emotions of other people around you. And so we're stepping into the space of social awareness. How aware are you of the emotions of those people in your near field, meaning the field of those people you interact with, whether it's personal or professional. And then we'll have one more phase, which is how well do you manage that awareness of other people's emotions? And that takes it to a whole other level, as we know. It's easy to be aware of the emotions of other people, but what do we do with that? Yeah. We're seeing that just an explosion of the animal planet across the United States. Just below the line, lights off, things are punching people's lights out, metaphorically speaking, emotionally. And so this is a real timely topic that we decided to really, we've done this before in the past, but we were really moved by the Spirit to revisit the emotional component that is triggering people into a space that doesn't honor the person that they're committed to being behind closed doors.
Right.
Or perhaps they're lost to the point where their eyes don't see, their ears don't hear, and their mind can't comprehend the things of God. So therefore, things become very dark.
Or they're not mindful. They don't open their eyes and they aren't mindful. They don't take a moment to listen and stop. So
absolutely.
Awareness
absolutely.
Is very, very important.
So we're going to move through this. You know, when putting this together, it's kind of like, what? It's not all about me in terms of just the whole focus of getting our emotional bank filled and satisfied. It's really a collaboration. And this was the beginning of Edge Got In, because there is a lot of Edge Got Out going on, ego. And so Dr. Stella and I have recognized that in our own lives. It's not all about us and the fame game and, you know, popularity, how many clicks you get, all of that. It's about God. We are literally bought by Christ's blood. And we are here for Him to make God recognizable, to be present and continuing the message of the gospel. That is our first and foremost, our greatest opportunity for deep peace and purpose in life.
It's interesting because that is our purpose and we forget that, and that's what causes the problem. Forgetting our purpose. Everyone wonders what their purpose is, and that is just it, what you just spoke of. It's serving God and bringing others to the fulfillment of God. So,
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm going to just begin with a short prayer here, and we'll invite the power of the Holy Spirit into our awareness of other people's emotions. Sweet Jesus, we just thank you for another gift of life today. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we invite your presence into all that we think, all that we say, and all that we do today. Give us the grace of the pause once again to be able to expand the gap between what happens outside of us and our ability to pause and reflect on our choice of response to whatever it is in other people's lives. Emotions evoke emotions. And so we pray for the power of Ephesians chapter 6, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, so that we would remember Romans 12:1, that we were transformed by the renewing of our mind. So raise our awareness to the emotions and the needs of those around us today, to seek ways that we can support and assist others into personal excellence, rather than seeking out ways that others can help us. Rather than coming into situations, what can you give me grant us the grace to step into life today and every encounter we have with another human being with that service mindset. What can I do for you to champion you? Once again, Lord, we cry out, John the Baptist's prayer, more of you, dear God, and less of us. Make yourself recognizable in us today. In your most precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And so, praise God.
Praise God. We're gonna jump in here in terms of just learning and focusing on this third essential component of emotional intelligence, social awareness. So let's begin with just a couple of questions here for those of you that are tuning in to us today. How aware are you of the emotions of other people? Do you listen to be understood, or do you listen to understand? What is your MO? What is your operating system in terms of how, your human operating system in terms of how you respond and how aware you are of other people's emotions? For example, when you step into a dialogue, the meaning of dialogue is the flow of meaning. It's an exchange between two people. It's objective until the emotions become involved and restrict the flow of meaning. So how aware are you when you step into a dialogue situation of the emotions of the other person, or are you consumed with your own emotional state of being? This week, we invite you out and up into the space of the Holy Spirit in this area, particularly because it takes grace to die to self and to seek what brings you into that space of caring about the emotions of other people and what role you can play personally in championing another person into a higher space, as well as validation. Now, we haven't gotten into this. We will be definitely exploring Imago dialogue, Imago dialogue, I-M-A-G-O, which has three components to it. It's basically mirroring. Basically, when you were in a dialogue situation with other people, you were mirroring their or summarizing what they're saying. So what I hear you saying is this, and you check in to make sure that that's right. So you're validating what they're saying. Ah, I can see that you're frustrated in this situation. I can understand that that's frustrating to you. And so there are three different components of empathy and validation that when we're spun, all empathy and validation goes right out the door. And so there's an excellent little book out there called Getting the Love You Want. You can get that on Amazon, but that's where the Imago therapy comes from, Getting the Love You Want. And it's all over YouTube as well. Imago, I-M-A-G-O. There's wonderful videos out there for that effective dialogue with the three components of mirroring or summary, validation, and empathy. It's a very powerful technique to use in this third space of emotional intelligence, which is social awareness. So what can we learn? What does God say, Dr. Stella, in terms of this area of social awareness?
Well, God says a lot about it.
Yeah,
I think a lot of the main problems with society today is our listening skills. And it's something that we don't teach. You know, to listen means to give one's attention to a sound, right? To take notice and act on what someone says. Now, that notice or act definitely needs self-awareness and self-reflection before you do that. But a lot of times people don't really hear. They don't listen. They hear what they want to interpret, but they don't hear what people are saying. So one of the things God tells us to do in 2 Timothy 2:16, he says, avoid profound idle talk, for such people will become more and more godless. Their teachings will spread. So, you know, like gangrene. So basically, we want to be aware of the energy and behavior that surrounds us. We want to be aware of what people are saying and avoid this idle talk. You know, they say that in the course of the day, we only say the same words over and over again. And I'd love to research this, that part of the problem is because we're only listening and hearing what we want, and we're verbalizing what we want to say instead of other words that could be really profound in our language, whatever language that could be. But it's really important to listen to what people, become aware. 2 Timothy 3:2 also says, people will be self-centered and lovers of money, proud, haughty, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, irreligious, callous, impeccable, slanderous, and the list goes on and on. They make a pretense religion, yet deny its power. God also says in 2 Timothy, by the way, is a great book to read about self-awareness. Mm-hmm. He also talks about in 4:3, be aware, for a time is coming when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but follow their own desires and insatiable curiosity, will accumulate teachers and will stop listening to the truth and would be diverted to myths. And we're seeing that all right now. It is so, but it takes one to listen to hear it. But you will be self-possessed in all circumstances. Put up your hardship, perform the work of all evangelists, fulfill your ministry. So God's telling us in Timothy that this is going to happen. We need to be aware of what's happening in the world, but we also need to use sound doctrine, which is his word, to overcome all of this. But it takes the first step, and that's listening, self, you know, being self-aware. Because mm-hmm. what happens is, you know, the Satan, he divides and conquers. He's a stealer of life. He is deceiver. He is the deceptor. He is a translator in the wrong way. Mm. And if we don't open our eyes, and I think it takes listening, it also takes knowledge, right? And going into the Bible, being self-aware. And Timothy speaks a lot about that.
Mm, absolutely. And that's, you know, that's the first stage of emotional intelligence, is how aware are you of your own emotions? Mm-hmm. How well do you manage your own emotions? We're exploring the third phase, which is, how aware are you then of the emotions of other people? Mm-hmm. You can't give out what you're not practicing within. So if you're having a difficult time, if you feel as if you're having a difficult time with being able to manage the emotions of other people, if you're having a very difficult time managing the emotions of other people, then focus on your own relationship with your own emotions, because basically, your ability to manage your own emotions will lead to your ability to be able to manage the emotions of other people, which is so essential when it comes to being in a position to be able to make God recognizable in this world. And that will strengthen your ability to stand in the promises of God, which 2 Timothy, yes, absolutely is one of the chapters to read for social awareness. I heard your little grandbaby in the back there saying good morning to you.
Good morning. So, yes, I always say that sometimes you end up bringing the baby to work with you.
Yes, there you go. That's exactly it. It's giving yourself permission, though. The biggest thing, it's like, guys, we're doing a lot of different things.
Yeah, yeah.
And so this emotional intelligence piece is so important, to just have high noticing without
high
the judgment.
Asking yourself, you know, once you're aware, what is your ministry in this world? Mm. How does this distraction in this world bump you off course? Mm-hmm. Man, are we being distracted right now, especially in America? How are we, mm-hmm. how is this bumping us off course? What are we steadfast in what we need to do? Mm. What is your advice that affects your social awareness? Mm. And we all have it.
There's another Bible study. I just did a 4-week study back east on the ring. What is your ring? Mm-hmm. And that's a powerful one podcast to go back to. Mm-hmm. I believe it's podcast 7. What is your ring? To find out what is your vice that mm-hmm. negatively affects your social awareness.
Yeah, and what are your cravings? Mm. We, you know, is it for possession? Is it for position, popularity? We all have that, and all of this affects your social awareness. Mm. So it's important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so just kind of moving forward to 5 different ways to lead with spiritual intelligence, using spiritual intelligence to lead to increase your emotional awareness of other people. This is so essential moving mm-hmm. forward
heard today, because there's the one-upping game. There's a lot of illegal moves. We should carry yellow flags around with us, just like any effective football game. If they didn't have the yellow flags, people would pummel each other. It's so important to have an infrastructure of what is a legal move.
Well, you know, it was interesting that you say that, and I'm diverting, but when I was in church yesterday, the pastor talked about it's important, you know, we have the law, and people talk about the law in the Old Testament as a bad thing. A lot of times they refer to it like, oh, the law was, no one can live by it. But the law is a good thing in a sense. We have to have laws so that we can stay on track. You know, what God taught us in the law was good things. It's just a man couldn't do it, so he made concessions for us. Mm-hmm. But don't knock the law. So when you're talking about emotional awareness, we need some boundaries. We need some laws. We need some concrete things to say you should not do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So infrastructure.
Infrastructure.
Like any solid house has a foundation.
Exactly.
And an infrastructure that holds it together.
So
it's just like letting a two-year-old go without any structure. Right. Two-year-olds crave structure because it leads to a sense of safety. Totally. As human beings, it's very important for us to be aware of. That's why the structure of emotional intelligence and having self-awareness and managing our own emotions and then having the social awareness is so important to be able to be effective for God.
Right.
Because then we'll just be throwing the yellow flag all day long. So bring that back in the house, in the castle. So five ways to lead with spiritual intelligence, using and catapulting our emotional awareness. The first one is to care about people. Be aware of other people. As Exodus 3:7 says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters. Mm-hmm. I am aware of their sufferings. God was aware of his people's sufferings. God is aware of his people's sufferings today. And so to make God recognizable in this world, to pray for the grace to step away from neutrality and from that sense of, there's a certain word I'm thinking of right now, desensitizing yourself. Pray that your heart will break over the things that break God's heart so that you do not fall asleep. This is a prayer that I prayed for a while because it's very easy to fall asleep, to become desensitized. As sex, as violence, as below the line expressions have become more visible in our movies, in our social media, we have become desensitized to suffering of other people. And it's easy to turn aside. So to really go before God and say, what would you have me do? And break my heart over the things that break your heart so that I can care for your people. There's an excellent song. I forget who it's by, but give me your eyes so I can see everything that I've been missing. Give me your love for humanity. But he goes on to talk about, give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I've been missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, for those who are far beyond your reach. It's a really powerful song. I can't think of it.
It's interesting we talk about that, because what happens is once that respect, and I think it has to do a lot with respect, is broken, and things that were not norms become norms. And that has the same thing to do with our language. If you don't respect a person or respect, you're going to say things that you shouldn't say. It's almost like I liken this to wardrobes and the way we dress. Mm. At one time, there were certain things we would never take into the church in our dress. And now it's been okay. It's about this allowances, right? Mm. So we need to really care about people and when it comes to verbalizing how we feel. Mm. And I think the second thing is important too, embracing differences. Oh, to make a big difference. I mean,
I got to clap for that.
Oh my God.
That's an Erlangwirth programming technique.
I know.
Somebody spins you, clap, because it'll neutralize the negative effects for it.
Amen. You know, don't view differences as a melting pot, but rather as a mosaic art piece, opportunities. I love when there's someone different that stands out in a crowd. Mm-hmm. You know, because I know that that person is self-aware and they're who they are. Mm-hmm. You know, it's important. Romans 14:13 says, let us not therefore judge one another. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, mm-hmm. but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Mm-hmm. So even though that person stands out and they're different, don't judge them. You don't know them. You don't know, and you don't know what God has, why he hasn't. And this is one thing that it's interesting. I went to this church and I think it was called Set Free. I don't remember. There's so many different churches, but I was walking in there and I walked in there and I automatically started judging. It was a motorcycle gang. They all had tattoos. I'm sitting here with my corporate America suit on and I go in this church and I'm feeling like, oh my God, where am I? Is this gang bangers? Are they gonna the best service I've ever heard in my life. Mm-hmm. The warmest people I ever saw in my life. Mm-hmm. So don't judge. And that's what we have mm-hmm. a tendency to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just moving into three. So the first one is to really care deeply about people. Mm-hmm. Dear God, break my heart over the things mm-hmm. that break your heart today. Help me to have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to respond so that I can show up and make you recognizable. Two, embrace the differences. Step away from judgment. Allow love to guide you. Judgment repels. Love brings closer, just like Jesus said, the man mm-hmm. in the front of the church and the back of the church. I love that story because the man in the back of the church says, I'm not even worthy to be here, Lord. And I'm here. The man in the front of the church or woman in the front of the church would say, thank you, God, that I'm not like all these other people. Thank you that I give 10% of everything I make. And basically I've got my ducks in a row. And Jesus said, who walked away in fellowship with the Lord? And it was the man who had that humility and non-judgment mm-hmm. And absolutely fell before God. So the third is to help individuals experience significance. Actually, significance in studies has been one of the largest desires of mankind, to feel a sense of significance. Now, I've worked with the homeless for over 25 years. One of the biggest desires is, do you see me and do I matter? Mm-hmm. So even if your takeaway today, I always think of one to three takeaways. If your takeaway today perhaps is, as I go forth today, I'm going to commit to be a representative of God, to make mm-hmm. every human being that crosses my path feel significant in some way today. Mm-hmm. That is social awareness. So yes. In spite of differences, in spite of things that perhaps spin you into your own pain bodies that haven't been released in your past. So Matthew 5:14-16, remember, you are a light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp or put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. And what happens when they see your good works? They give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So yes. Help others experience significance.
And that should be one of the things that we as Christians and leaders, especially Christian leaders, work towards. Mm. Letting our light shine before others so that they can see our good works. Mm. Because many times our light does not shine and people don't see our good works. And we need to make sure that's, because once we do that, it will glorify the Father.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Amen to that.
The fourth one is be accountable. No one is perfect.
What? Oh my God. I thought I was perfect.
Vulnerable. I tell you, vulnerability is not just a buzzword. It is a truth.
Oh, authenticity and vulnerability, man. It's a space for connection.
And accountability. If you're vulnerable, you're going to be accountable, right? Absolutely. Because if you're vulnerable, you said, you know what? I messed up.
My name's Lauren Miller, and this is the deal.
I messed that up. I'm a sinner. Mm-hmm. But guess what? I'm accountable for that sin. I want to do what's right. James 5:16 says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. Mm. God, do we need to do that? Do we really need to do it? Confession is so important. And you know, you find people confessing their sins and their faults, but sometimes you don't find the other thing is to pray for one another. Mm. We need to pray.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, growing up Protestant and now being in the Catholic Church for 25 years, has been just an amazing experience too, because I confess my sins before God, and He is faithful and just and forgives our sins. The experience of confession, of having another human being going to a priest on fire for the Lord, is just so powerful, because then you actually hear God knows how as human beings we desire the senses, to experience Him through the senses, to actually hear, go as Jesus did, your sins are forgiven.
And they're also gifted with the right advice to give us, biblical advice. They are the conduit for God's word. So they're going to give you the things you need to hear. So it's a win-win situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And number five, be mindful of other people's needs. They call me the mindful professor. I am so mindful, because I try to, a team is more powerful than the sum of its parts, but each part must continually be refurbished and renewed in order for the team to sustain its power. You know, Colossians 3:12-14 says, God has chosen you and made you His people. He loves you. So always do these things. Show mercy to others, be kind, humble, gentle, and patient. Do not be angry for others, but forgive. Oh my God, forgiveness is a huge thing, and we can have a whole story on forgiveness.
Absolutely.
If someone does wrong to you, forgive them, forgive each other, because the Lord forgave you. Remember, He forgave us. Why can't we do the same? Do these things, but most important, love each other. Love is what holds you all together in perfect unity.
Love wins. That's the bottom line. Love wins.
Yes.
So just kind of summing things up here, for those of you, and intentionally, the purpose of these calls are to be used randomly to inspire and encourage your soul as the Holy Spirit will have it, or to help direct one of our Edge God In Bible studies, beginning with this and then going through the Bible study with a group of people that you've gathered together. At this point, you'll find that there's five different phases that we're using, and this comes from adult education and how adults actually learn and sustain information and are able to apply it rather than just hear it and forget about it. The first is we learned about the power of social awareness in 2 Timothy, to avoid idle talk, to avoid negative talk. In 2 Timothy 3:2, we learned to step away from selfishness. Being proud, haughty, being a lover of money instead of God. In 2 Timothy 4:3, we learn to be aware that a time's coming when people won't want to turn to God. And so all the more we're called to be a light to the world. And that was what we learned in the scriptures. And then we moved in the reflection to five ways to lead with spiritual intelligence, to care about people, embrace differences. Three, to help individuals experience significance. I see you, you matter. Four, to be accountable. No one's perfect. Be willing to be vulnerable. Vulnerability evokes vulnerability, which evokes connection and sustainable authenticity. Five, be mindful of each other's needs, to love one another deeply. Love wins. And now we move to the fourth stage, which is basically identify and integrate. This is the phase of questioning. This is taking what you've learned and reflected upon and integrating it into your own life. So emotions will rule your life, and you will rise and fall depending on how the world judges you until you become bigger than the emotion at hand. So what does this look like? Take a piece of paper and identify and write down three emotions that trigger within you a similar emotion when expressed by another person. For example, when someone expresses frustration towards you, you immediately feel frustrated. Emotional intelligence around the emotion of other people will move you to respond with questions rather than frustration, rather than mirroring or evoking the same emotion. You will stay neutral. And this is the pause where the Holy Spirit can drop in. Mm-hmm. Questions such as, what specifically did I say or do that's frustrating you? Or how specifically could I have expressed myself with what I said with more clarity? Are you lacking some information? Just asking questions to guide the person back to themselves and out of the frustration. Jesus was masterful at asking questions in the midst of emotional outbursts of people around him. You can see it pulled through all of the four gospels. As you explore the emotional responses of other people that trigger you, that trigger that similar emotion. Frustration evokes frustration. Anger evokes anger. You see this on the road all the time. Mm-hmm. To be in that place of high emotional intelligence, you're aware of this. You can see it. Ah, there's a person that's ticked off. And giving yourself that pause of consciousness, allowing Jesus' mind, Romans 12:1, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have the mind of Christ to basically become immersed to the front side of your frontal cortex, which is basically how you respond to life. Science shows that when human beings maintain an inner connection to positive emotions, this is science. This is literally out of Irvine, California, that love, kindness, patience, compassion, curiosity with this positive emotion actually shifts the brain waves into a higher space of the other person. So by you holding a positive brain space, you can actually shift it to the higher emotions. Mm-hmm. Dr. Stella, I'm going to have to jump because I got to jump on with meet a client right now, but I'm going to leave you to finish this out. Can I get off? Or
yeah, that's fine.
Is that okay?
Can I?
It'll still go, right?
It'll still go. Okay.
Great.
We'll continue on.
So you guys continue on, and God bless you guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. And so the last phase is maintaining. So now that you have, as Sister Lauren talked about, identified and integrated all this, and you understand emotions, you want to know how to maintain it. So as you explore emotions with others, increase your awareness around emotions and evoke similar emotions in your body. Remember, an emotion is your body's response to a thought. So next week, why don't you try this? Practice high noticing around other people, releasing all judgment, you know, being mindful, and step off the stage of drama and reflect how people interact with you. It's a good way of looking at things. At the end of the day, I always encourage people to journal your observations, your emotions, what happened, what works for you, what doesn't work for you. And it's something that you not only can use to understand how you react, but to control your reactions in the future. So again, in closing, I wanted to just say, you know, we went a little long this time, but the thing is, you've learned what God says about social awareness. You've also know now how to reflect on the five ways the Spirit can lead you in dealing with emotional intelligence. You've learned how to integrate and identify it and put it into your life. And you've learned how ways of taking this and maintaining it throughout the week, and that's by journaling your behaviors, being more emotionally aware. So I'm going to close in prayer, and I ask you, encourage you to go to Edge God In anytime you need any information, and Bible study, our Bible study guide will lead you through that. And as Sister Lauren says, you can use this Bible study guide. You can start at first listening to our podcast, and then you can move into Bible study, or you can go into Bible study and listen to our podcast and see if anything's helping you in that area. So dear God, grant me the gracious assumptions. Help me to see others as you see me, as I desire to be, rather than how I respond emotionally, in ways, Lord, that does not honor the person you know that I want to be. God, love invokes love. I love because you love me first, Lord. Help me to love and be kind to one another. Where there is no love and kindness, let that happen in my life. Let kindness and love win. And in every act on my part, help me to participate in the random acts of kindness. And let it go viral, Lord, in the heavenly realms. I'd like you to have it your way with me, Lord, in spite of myself. And I ask for more of you and less than me. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Please surround yourself with others today. And if you have any questions, please just feel free to email Lauren and I. And you can go to Edge God In, and you can find a Bible study in our podcast there. Have a blessed day.